The scripture reading before this morning's sermon will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart.
Morning. Hope everyone is doing well, feeling good this morning. We're here to praise and uplift God's holy name. He's here with us this morning. If you didn't know that, he's here. We're not by ourselves. We're sitting next to our pew partner, pew mate, person we usually sit with, but God, the Father of creation, the Father who created you and I, is here right now. In fact, God is never not here. He's always present. He's always there to hear, to see, to know, to understand, and to also convict. So we're never alone. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, the Bible says, live peaceably as best you can with all mankind. This week has been a testing week for me, especially on Tuesday around 9 p.m. Our new neighbors up the street had a party going. I won't tell you the ethnic background of their heritage, but I'll tell you this. They had a live mariachi band going. There is one person in our neighborhood, she knows everybody's business. Another person wants everybody to follow the Homeowners Association rules. And when you don't follow them, she lets you know you're in violation. Whenever there's a noise problem, people go to one house because that person seems to be the one person who calls the cops all the time. At 9 p.m., there was a knock at my door. Mr. Carey, what you gonna do about the noise? I said, not a problem. I'll go talk to him. I got my little dog, Kojak. We walked down there. Walked up to the door. Knocked on the door. And I said, sir, the music seems to be a little loud. Yes, we're celebrating birthdays. I said, I'm glad that you are. But it's a little loud. Can you tune it down a little bit? We got you. So I left. About 9:45, there was a knock at my door. Mr. Carey. What you gonna do about the noise? The noise continued from 9 p.m. to about 12. I don't know about you, but when you have a live mariachi band with microphones, you can't go to sleep. I'm a very light sleeper. If I hear a cricket, I gotta get up and kill it. Mariachi band. A lot more decibels than a cricket. 12:30 in the morning, I got my little dog, Kojak. We walked up there again, knocked on the door. Mr. Greg, you're back! Yes, I'm back. The noise is going to have to end. It's after 12. You're in violation of Gwinnett County Code. It needs to stop. Gotcha! 1:30 rolls around, they're still going. Someone called my phone and said, Mr. Carey, what you gonna do about the noise? Called Gwinnett County Police Department, told them what was going on. Gwinnett County, I saw them drive past my house. The noise stopped. two different perspectives. The house had a party going on, and they didn't see any reason why the noise couldn't be loud. Other of us who are asleep got a problem with it. Two different perspectives. That's how life is, generally. You have two different perspectives. Our sermon this morning is don't lose heart. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who walk into a room and say, there you are, and those who say, here I am. Well, there are two types of people, those concerned about doing the work, those concerned about getting the credit. There are two kinds of people in the world, those with loaded guns and those who dig, you dig. That's from Clint Eastwood, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who do not listen to anybody and those who listen to everybody. Not much needs to be said about that, does it? There are two different kinds of people in the world. There are two different kinds of perspectives in the world. This is very unique to me because my daughter Melissa was a book lover. And every year when she got the books, she went into a fit because people would bend the pages over and she thought that was a desecration of the book. Coke and Pepsi, not even close. Mountain Dew is where it's at. iPhone or Android, which one is it? Obviously, you're all wrong. In the Bible, the same is true. There are two kinds of people. Abel and Cain. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Abel and Cain, two different perspectives. Cain offered an offering just like Abel gave an offering, but they had two different perspectives, two different outcomes. Moses and Pharaoh. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh replied, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Two different perspectives. Moses knew God. Pharaoh did not know God. Moses wanted to obey God. Pharaoh, I don't want to obey the man. I don't even know him. Two different perspectives. You'll find it within scripture all the way through. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Then you may call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. And all the people answered, what you say is good. You know the story. 250 prophets going up against Elijah. And Elijah called upon God, and God answered with fire. And Baal's prophets, their God, said nothing. There's only one true living God, and he's here. And he's vying for your perspective. He wants your perspective to mirror his. He wants you both to be twins. He don't want your perspective to go against his perspective. And so he'll give you his, and you have to choose his or choose your own. But there are two kinds of people in the world. Not long ago, I talked to you about the story of David and Goliath. This is actually part two of that sermon. David and Goliath. We talked about how David saw that Goliath was just a man. Israel didn't see him just as a man. The fight. the physical to physical versus the spiritual to physical. David did not see Goliath as a threat. David was not afraid of Goliath's physical prowess. David was insulted by Goliath's presence. David knew that if anyone was to be afraid, it was Goliath. David saw, knew God's power. David knew he had already won. David was confident. David was powerful because of his belief in God's ability. The question wasn't who is this Philistine. The question is, who is God? That's the question. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David took that to heart and was insulted that that man would come before Israel for 40 days, morning and evening, calling them out. What you have is this. You have a bully. Maybe pushing, shoving, bold threats are made, taunting, feigned superiority, ashamed and shamed, persuaded and perceived that you are powerlessness. Stare down moments, singled out, isolation, verbal put downs. Have you ever been in that situation where you were bullied? Where someone stared you down and said, give me your lunch or I will beat you to a pulp. And you said, take it. I don't have to eat today. And then the very next day he comes to you and he didn't have to say a word to you. Here. What that does is that bullying causes fear, quietness, avoidance, fleeing, running, hiding, anxiety, panic, sadness. I'm going to tell you one exceedingly important part about this that most people miss. I want to ask you something. How did Israel know to be afraid? No fist had been leveled, no arrow had been shot, no spear had been thrown, no sword had been swung, and no one had even died yet. The war hadn't even started. What's there to make me afraid? When you are confronting bullies, initially there's usually no fighting. He's simply talking, big talk. And what usually happens is you cower down to the big talk. The talk is so big, it's bigger than you, it's bigger than the world, it's bigger than everybody, because this guy's got a big mouth. My dad told me the best way to deal with a big mouth bully is to hit him in his mouth. You just hit him and he'll shut up. That's the only instrument that he has. Carrie, what you got to lunch for today? You got that sweet thing your dad gives you every day? Yeah, let me have that. Appreciate you. And it better be in the bag tomorrow. And the very next day, Carrie, what you got in the lunch, man? See, my dad told me, give him three chances. Give him three. That's all he gets. Give him three chances. On the third day, he said, Carrie, what's in your lunch? I said, Guess what happened on the fourth day? I ate my lunch. What happened on the fifth day? I ate my lunch. The sixth day, I ate my lunch. There was not even a fight yet. And already Israel is scared. Go to 1 Samuel. First Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes Damnon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line a battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountainside, and the Israel stood on the other mountainside, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp a Philistine, a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then you will be my servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines say, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That word dismayed means to break, to crack, frightened, to shatter, to wane, to stand in awe of, to beat down, and to discourage. By the very words of this one man, Israel was cracked, shattered, and beat down. We're talking about the army of God. Let some uncircumcised Philistine break them down physically and psychologically, because they were fighting the physical with the physical. They weren't fighting spiritual to physical. And that's our challenge today, as it was with Israel. Do you know that Israel received manna from God every single morning for 40 years? And they had the unmitigating gall to complain about the bread. It was a daily reminder that God protects you. God looks after you. God loves you. God performs miracles for you on a day-to-day basis. Think on it from a spiritual aspect. But no, they looked at it as being physical. I'm so sick and tired of eating the same manna from heaven. There ain't no variety in it. It's the same worship service every Sunday. No variety in it. Thinking on those things which are spiritual and fighting from that vantage point will always put you and I in the winner's circle. Whether you lose that battle or not, it won't matter. Because when it's all said and done, when the war is over with, we go to heaven. We go to heaven. So stop fighting the physical with the physical. Fight it from a spiritual perspective. Israelites were fighting with a physical fight with a physical perspective. Israel's were fighting with the wrong perspective. A spiritual fight fought properly is a fight already won. I'm going to park it here for just a second. I want you to ask yourself a question if you're not a member of the body of Christ. If you are a member of a Baptist congregation, Methodist, Presbyterian, some other congregation other than the Lord's Church, I want you to ask yourself one question. If we all serve the same God with the same Bible, why are there so many different churches? If we worship the same God using the same Bible, then by my addition, We should be the same church. We should be called the same name. Same doctrine, same teaching. But if it's different, then you need to find a way to answer that question properly. And you won't be able to, because what you'll find is it's different. It's not the same. We'll come back to that. Go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, we have a very interesting comment made by the Lord Jesus himself, talking about faith. We'll start at verse 7. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am too a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does that. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. We just read where Israel lost their faith because of one man. Jesus over here says, this centurion who's not even a Jew, has more faith than I've ever seen in Israel. Confusing the physical with the spiritual. In the whole book of John, the apostles, his disciples, misunderstood him time and time again, confusing the physical with the spiritual. In John 2, verse 19 through 20, Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it in 3 days? He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his body, the spiritual body. It's going to be raised up and the church will be established. John 3, verse 3 through 4, Jesus replied, Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Was Jesus saying that people got to go back into their mama's womb and get born again? No. Once again, confused. Jesus answered her, if you know the gift of God and who it is that asks for you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? The Samaritan woman, she misunderstood what Jesus was saying. Confusing the spiritual with the physical. You know, it's very possible for a non-Christian to go to the Bible and follow a biblical principle and get results from it and feel like they're following God's word. But they won't get the spiritual blessing from it. And what happens is we begin to confuse how we feel physically with how we're supposed to feel spiritually. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The inner man, fight like heaven has already been won. That's how you and I have to fight. We've already got heaven in the back pocket. We're already there. We're there. We're fighting to just simply stay there. Verse 1, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to who? It belongs to God. Does not belong to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven. Not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believe and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends more to more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our out self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He's asking, he's demanding that we see things from a spiritual standpoint. We want to increase the inner man. While the out man is perishing day by day, we seek God's word to keep the inner man strong. Fight with the proper perspective. When I went out to catch Moby Dick, I brought tartar sauce, a saucer, and a fork. No one can make you inferior without your consent. Life has no remote. Get up and change it yourself. When someone tells you no, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It simply means you can't do it with them. Powerful words, aren't they? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? You know what can make you feel even better? God's words. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's God's words. That should make you feel good. Because it's God's words trying to encourage you to stay in the fight. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. He went up there, and he is fashioning a mansion for you and I to live in. That's what he's doing. It's there for you. What you and I have to do is fight like we already got it. We can't be despaired every single day of life. The world thinks physically. They want you to think physically. God doesn't want you to think that way. I remember when my wife and I were having one of our weekly lunches at Olive Garden. I love Olive Garden. They have a great deal. You get there, the salad and the breadsticks, all you want. You can eat everything you want out of it. We were there one Friday. We did our customary hug, kiss. We pat each other on the buttocks. Going inside. Inside of 15 minutes before the food got there, we were in an argument. We were arguing in public. And my wife, she said, if we ever get like that, as the leader of the family, you've got to stop that and get us out of there so we won't embarrass the church. And I said, baby, we got to go. We have to go. We're going to the car and we're going to pray about this. Because this is going sideways. And the food came. The bread was smelling good. Woo! And the salad was, woo! Man! My wife looked at me and she said, we need to pray. I said, we sure do. On the way out, I grabbed some some bread and I ate on the way to the car. When I got to the car, I was praying with a mouthful of bread. You see, if you fight back and forth without God, you're fighting physical with physical. But once you put God in the mix, he should never really leave it. If he's there, you're fighting spiritual with the physical. And the physical will always lose. So our perspective has to change. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. We seek spiritual things first, not the carnality. There's supposed to be another slide after that one, but it's not there. I had the opportunity. Is anybody here as a Home Depot person? Anybody Lowe's? I had the opportunity to work in both companies this past 3 weeks. My water heater broke, and my second bedroom flooded. 40 gallons of water. And so I made a comparative analysis and found that Lowe's had the better deal because it actually had the water heater that was in there before that lasted 20 years. So I thought, I'll go with that. To make a long story short, back and forth, texting, phone calls. 3 weeks later, I ain't got a water heater. 3 weeks without a water, hot water. That's hard to live with, isn't it? I'm heating water on the stove, taking bird baths. I'm going to the laundromat. I'm driving down to Athens to use my sister's laundry, washing machine, and dryer. I called Lowe's and told them, give me my money back. I'm going with Home Depot. I called Home Depot that day. The very next day, I had a water heater. My perspective was changed based on their service. When you go to church, to worship, excuse me, when you go to worship, is your perspective changed based on the service you get or on the service that God gets? How do you shop for your congregation? Is your congregation following God's word, or do they have a barbershop downstairs so that when service is over with, you can also go get your hair did? What is your criteria? The Bible, God, Jesus Christ, wants you to change your perspective about your spirituality. He wants you to start fighting your wars from a spiritual standpoint and vantage point. He wants you to be prepared for the fight. He wants you to come ready to fight. And if you get banged up, I'll count it all but for loss, except for the cause of Christ. If you're not a member of the body of Christ this morning, we asked you earlier if we all teach from the same Bible, worship the same God, we should all be the same church. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says that the Apostle Paul taught the exact same thing in every church. He gave the same message in every church. Why would the Apostle Paul teach the same message in every church? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, let there be no divisions among you. If you teach the same thing in every church, you can't be divisions. You have to be what? United. And so if your church says you don't have to get baptized, this church says you have to get baptized, this church says you can have five wives, this church says you can only have one, which one is it? Which one do you go to? If they're all right, if every one of them is right, there's a problem because they're teaching different things. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about there being one body, one church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 talks about the gospel. You have to hear the gospel first, believe it, understand what it means to have the good news in your life, then believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 2:38. Then you need to repent of your sins, Luke 13, verse 3. Then confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10, verse 10. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark 16, 16. That's how you become a member of the body of Christ. You must first be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you were told you all you have to do is believe and then sometime later you were baptized, you were under the belief and understanding that after belief you were saved. The Bible says baptism is the only thing that washes away sin. If you believed you were saved after belief and then baptized sometime later, you thought you were saved, not having your sins washed away. You were taught in error. It is impossible to be taught wrong and saved right. You need to be baptized to be saved. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you live in such a way that has been very bad, going against God's law, then you can change your life as well. Come forward, repent of your sins, and be accepted back into God's fold by confessing your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If anybody in the audience fit in either of those two categories, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.